Okay, and welcome back to the next episode of Unfiltered. We're having some conversations about disability and everything people wanted to know and have usually been too afraid to ask or just ask without asking if it's okay. I'm joined today by Wes and Letitia, some really great folks who work here in the city of Belmont, and we're just going to have some conversations today about just general things. So we don't have a specific theme. It's kind of that any other duties or any other conversational type stuff or random things. So I'm going to start with you, Letitia. Can you just tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Hello, I'm Letitia. I am the Senior Digital Content Manager at Centre for Accessibility Australia, which sounds really fancy, but basically I just proofread and write random stuff. I am an amputee and I'm a nerd, and that's basically me.
All the best people are nerds, really. That's why I specifically asked you to, because I wanted to have a nerdy conversation. Wes, do you want to tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm a digital accessibility analyst, so I take apart websites and that and then audit them to meet 50 international criteria for being accessible and stuff. Basically write it down, look through a website, say yes, no, you pass, try a little harder or something like that.
Wow, you failed.
Yeah, that's pretty much it is. I might just start from scratch,
yeah,
you know, but yes, which is really cool. I haven't worked here for that long, but it's been really awesome work so far. But at home, I'm like a bird enthusiast, and I like art and yeah, a lot of fantasy games and stuff. I'm a big video game player.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. They're very fancy titles.
Yeah.
So today, as I said, we're going to just talk about different sort of random questions. And we've had a question that came in around travel. And so as for you guys, your support needs are a little bit different. Same with me. Is it hard for you to travel around? What makes it hard?
Well, Wes knows I have some hearing issues in my body.
Oh, okay, tell us.
I was on the bus sitting on the seat, and the bus driver wasn't his fault. He broke really fast, and I went flying.
Oh,
And
no.
I cracked my head on the ground, and my legs, my prosthetic legs, fell off skimming away. Yeah, I think I gave the bus driver therapy for the rest of his life.
The need for therapy,
The need for
yeah.
therapy, yeah.
He was quite upset,
He was quite
apparently.
upset. Yeah, no, basically, physical obstacles. It's, yeah, for me, it's kind of difficult to. I can't drive yet because I was a lot. Elon Musk hasn't made driverless cars completely available to the public.
I cannot wait for
Yeah.
driverless
I'm
cars,
not
can I
ready.
just say? Oh.
Every time anyone gets real hesitant about it, I'll look at the risks and I'm like, no, I've signed me up. I do not mind. The car can drive off a cliff, but as long as I get 5 minutes of autonomy, I am there.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
fair.
Sorry, of transport. Yeah, so basically for me, it's physical obstacles, but public transport are usually used. And besides today, and a few other times, it's actually been pretty good. I've got a scratchy thing, which I put my transverse card on it, and I beep all the time on it when I get on and off. Yeah, public transport for me is, yep.
What about like airline travel and stuff? How do you go with that?
Don't really go on planes a lot, so I don't really have that much experience. But from my own experience, it's been good. American Airlines suck. There is something about Qantas where they, I don't know if they, I know there's probably been bad press, I don't know, but from my own experience, everyone's always been quite welcoming and helpful with my needs. Just if I need a wheelchair. Oh, my wheelchair has gotten lost a few times
Oh,
going
yeah.
around.
I
The
think
nation
that's.
has travelled more than me, so. But I kind of take that as natural, which I guess it's not. Like, whenever my wheelchair gets lost, I'm like, oh yeah, that happened. But I suppose when you step back and think about it, that's actually not that good.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wheelchair needs a passport. Yeah, I don't know, I haven't really had much dramas besides
Yeah.
missing wheelchairs.
My friend has an AirTag now that they put on the wheelchair.
Oh, so they can locate it.
Oh, that's
Nice.
nice, it's a good idea.
I
Yeah,
know.
I think
I
that's
was
still
like, why
smart.
didn't I think of that with
Yeah.
my suitcase and stuff? But
Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
interesting. How about you, Wes? Do you have any issues around travel?
Yeah. I would say public transport, yeah, can be a hassle. Unlike, well, Letitia's experiences, like mine are kind of more psychiatric in nature.
Yeah.
Physically, everything's fine, but I could be sitting on a bus smiling and having an absolute moment inside.
Yeah.
And because I don't drive, and you know, driving is a whole nother basket, it really is one of the biggest barriers to me actually going out to start a recovery process. Like getting back outside and kind of coming back to reality, and that I won't because of public transport, and I had to work through that for quite a lot. I guess really there's nothing you can do, but it is an experience I have. Yeah.
What do you think we could do, like the public or the work could do to make it easier?
That's the thing. I don't think there really is much to do besides break down the overarching stigma of seeing someone being mentally ill or different. Yeah, for public transport, I think, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's cool.
I really do wish there was more trains and buses, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's not even related to disability in general. That's just something that should happen, because there is a lot of buses.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of waiting.
Yeah. I think in terms of climate change, it would be great to have more public transport available and more affordable public transport. More people would use it.
That's it. More like electric, not...
Yeah.
Natural gas and etc.
That's one of the reasons why I'm really excited about driverless cars. There's not only the thing around people with disability who can't normally drive, actually just being able to go where they want to. It's we can share cars now.
Yeah.
We could just call up for what we need rather than have one sitting around in my garage that I might, if I work from home, is never going to move. Yeah. I can send that out with my kids or whatever. So
Yeah.
Like
which is interesting, but...
Yeah.
I think that's really... Because that's another barrier. It's just like... Getting a car?
Yeah. Affordability, do you mean?
Yeah, like that is bananas. Like,
I know.
Yeah.
Especially when we might struggle to get a job.
Yeah.
Being and then able to afford it.
That's it. Yeah. And then everything associated with learning, which, you know, driving's easy, but driving's not risk-free, that's for sure.
No. Yeah. I don't think it's as easy as we think. We've got some shocking drivers here in WA. That's the other reason why I'm hanging out for driverless cars. People go, oh, the risk. And I'm like, have you met the people who have licenses?
Yeah, but...
Oh, it's a bit scary. Okay, cool. So one of my next questions is, it's about dating.
Mm.
We'll see how we go. Do you only ever want to date other people with disability? If so, why?
No, I would date anyone I feel a connection with, although it is interesting when other people assume when you have a disability that you would date only people with disability.
Mm.
When I was dating someone once and I mentioned it to someone I know, and the first question was, oh, wow, did I have a disability too? Like,
yeah.
Why would you assume that?
Assume it,
it's weird, man. Yeah. But, I don't really have a preference.
No.
Yeah.
People just assume because they're the only people that we're interested in. As like,
That sounds like it was just a bit of a, like a probably a moment where you just don't say that. Hey. Sometimes people are good people, but sometimes you're just going to be like, squish their lips a bit like, don't just say that.
Yeah.
Like, squish their lips in their head.
Just like, a little dot.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah. Stop talking.
Yeah. Stop talking.
Yeah. How do you feel about that question, Wes?
I think, pretty similar lines, hey, where it's like, you could date anyone, but there's conversations you got to have with a partner if they don't have a disability, and those conversations aren't easy because you're trying to share your perspective, but with someone who doesn't, who hasn't lived that, and lived experiences like full on, that's not just, it was like this, and then the person sitting there's like, I completely get that, I have all your trauma. That doesn't happen. So that's work on top of a relationship that's already got 50 things that are, it's really intense. Like someone said, relationship is like someone who's your boss and then you do everything together and you sleep in the same house. And if you have a kid, you have a kid. And both of you have got to look at it. It's like you're doing 50 jobs at once with someone else. And then disability is honestly another whole 50 jobs. But then at the same time, disability and disability together, if that were to happen, I would find has its own certain barriers.
Yeah.
Like support for one another, and for mine, like I mentioned before, because of psychiatric, that's a lot of energy, and for years it can actually develop into something unhealthy without it being, because if something serious happens, the person has to put their all to make sure that person's okay, but then their mental health, who they might be vulnerable to, will drop, and then you've got this imbalance, and it could be really tricky.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it like that.
Yeah, it can get tricky, because who's going to help them if you can't help yourself? And then what if both of you can't help themselves, like yourself?
Yeah.
So you can't help them because you're struggling, and then they're struggling and they can't help you. It's like two rock bottoms.
Yeah.
And that's not fun, but it's not intentional either, and that's what really hurts sometimes.
Yeah.
So it can be pretty tough.
It can. I live in a diverse household. My poor husband, we call him the diversity hire. It's not very politically correct, but he's middle-aged, he's white, and he doesn't have any disabilities, so he's like the diversity hire in our house.
That's not the first time I've heard that.
Sorry, husband.
Yeah.
He's like,
here's my partner.
Yeah, yeah.
The
token
standard.
Normal guy. One of the questions came around from someone who didn't have a disability, and they were like, well, what do we say? Because I'm always scared I'm going to say the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And so, like, for me, I'm happy, I'm proudly disabled. Like, I literally have the T-shirt. But how do you guys feel about that? Do you prefer people, that whole concept of disability pride? Do you prefer, I have a disability, mm-hmm. I'm disabled, I'm a person with disability? Do you not have a preference? How do you feel about that language side of things?
I am 100% a disabled person. I'm not going to turn around. Well, all for others who have disability pride. That isn't my... Please don't talk for me.
Nobody will.
I don't know whether I would say I have disability pride, but quite as I am disabled.
Yeah.
That's who I am. And mm-hmm. I feel like until we have equal footing in socially, politically, all of that, then I don't really see why we should pussyfoot around disability first language.
That's true.
Person first.
I think it kind of does take the highlight when there are other things that are like shockingly obvious that should be addressed first, I reckon. And I understand it's like somehow that's how people start to normalize our reality, and that's when stuff, but then you've got places where like people can't even access, there's events people can't even access,
yeah,
there's jobs people can't access. And then everyone's the news is, hey, by the way, should it be he, him, hers? Or would you like prefer to be called? But it's like, that's, yeah. But at the same time, it's so subjective too.
Yeah.
I'm sure what you'd call yourself is different from what I'd call myself. But that's because we've had really different lives.
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
But we both share an interest in having a job.
In the sector,
that's
yeah.
That's it, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. To me, a label's just like a name. It's just something.
Yeah, that's true. Some people see it as a really key part of their identity. Others, I guess it's what you expose to. I think probably the fact that I'm in the sector has influenced my thinking around that.
Yeah.
I might not feel so comfortable saying it if I work somewhere completely different.
Yeah. That's it, true. Yeah. And that's why, yeah, that just proves it's so fluid.
Mm.
It's an opinion that you hold to yourself, which is... I did. I remember having this speech before about what identity is, and I was just like, it's your favourite game, because that's actually what it is. It's just bits of things that come
that
and
comes,
you just, and you're just like, I like that.
It fits.
Yeah, exactly, that fits, and it doesn't have to fit 10 years later, it doesn't have to fit 10 years ago, it's about the now.
Yeah, that's a really good way to look at it, I like it. So just following on from that, what's the hardest thing about having a disability?
Trying to explain it.
Yeah.
In a sense. Yeah. Well, like, honestly, anything that isn't just taken elsewhere.
Yeah.
But that's it. But it's kind of go to my boss and say, I had this moment, or go to my parents and they're like, so why were you in hospital? Like, how do you... It's hard to explain that. That's what I found is the most troubling, above anything else. In the end, you can get through it. But honestly, I'm still having that same conversation with my parents and it's been like 10 years.
Wow.
So, yeah.
It takes a lot of energy, doesn't it? To keep having the conversations.
Yeah, you pick your battles, that's for sure.
I think particularly when the disability is not visible,
yeah,
you have to explain and explain.
Mm.
Yeah. Letitia, what about yourself? What's the hardest thing? What's the thing that annoys you the most?
Honestly, people's attitudes. People can be really terrified of you. Like, you're literally living your existence, getting on a bus or doing whatever, and people freak out.
Yeah.
You shouldn't. Do you have something with you, or are you okay doing this? And the thing is, yeah, and I can't even really fault people necessarily, because Objectively, if I had been born able-bodied and I had no experience with disability, it might be a bit, oh, is that person okay, sort of thing.
Yeah, everyone goes through
it. Yes. Yeah. But, like, man, just let me fucking buy a movie ticket. Calm down, Rhonda, I'm fine.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Calm down, Rhonda, I'm fine. I love it.
I've definitely seen that happen so much where it's, like, it's this overbearing nature. And in their mind, that's why you don't fault them. They're like, yeah, I'm going to help someone out.
Yeah.
But they do that once a day. You know, you get told crap like that.
Yeah.
50 times a day.
Yeah.
And you get sick of it, I imagine.
Yeah.
People
be people.
People
need
people. People
need
help.
I need that on a shirt.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah. People do. They try to be helpful, but I'm an adult. I can do my thing.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah, that's
it's not my first go on the bus.
Yeah, and that's it.
Yeah, it's interesting. What about when you're going out to clubs or gigs or events and stuff like that? What makes that kind of hard?
You assume I have a social life.
Mate, I'm the same. I haven't got one either.
No, you went to Salt Town
Square.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I didn't manage to get your tickets, but I'm okay because I saw Reputation.
Yeah.
I'm fine. That's fine.
You're not bitter?
I'm not sad, you know. But yeah, we never went to the concert cinema thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was your question?
What makes it hard to go out to clubs and gigs and events?
Stains, physical barriers. Yeah, we get to it's obvious for me, because actually, I guess not. I think it is obvious for people, but I guess it isn't obvious for people. Yeah, stairs, physical barriers, I've said that. That's, yeah.
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 People trying to be helpful.
Yeah, sure. Imagine you're at a concert and they're like, you're like drinking and having a good time within your limits. Someone's like, should you be doing
that?
Oh, like, yeah, give me another one.
Being an adult drinking, people, this isn't really the same, but kind of, it's in ableism. You know when you get the 100-year-olds and people go up to them and they're like, oh, wow, how did you live so long? And they give some answer, and it's like, oh, wow, it's like freaking George has been through both well and bored.
He's
and
all
still
right.
Smokes.
Treat him like an adult, man. Yeah,
yeah, that's
it.
And so does the same sorts of things happen to you? Like...
Yeah, I was one time, like a decade ago, I still think about it. It's a bit wrong. Okay, so I was sitting... And my friends had gone off to go wherever, and I was eating McDonald's, and I had chips on the table on a napkin. And yes, one chip fell on the table. This was pre-COVID days. I know what's wrong. I sat there, I looked at it, I went to eat it, and someone from the other table literally came over, went, no, and took the chips from me. And then they're like, where is your mum? And I replied without thinking, no, that's not my mum, that's my parole officer.
Can I get you like an ankle brace?
Yes! No, that's what you're getting on a t-shirt. This is not my care, it's my parole officer.
No, you joke, I'm getting that now.
That's so good.
That's so good. But it's true though, isn't it? There's that assumption that you can't.
Yeah.
You need your mum there.
Oh, far out. That's hilarious. Wes?
Yeah, honestly, I wouldn't say there's anything specific for me that isn't for everything else, so not really much to say.
Yeah, fair enough. Proofs, I know it's hilarious, right? I've had a couple of people also want to ask about telling people that you've got a disability. So when you got to go apply for a job, or when you call up and you're looking for medical appointments or things like that, do you have to tell people?
Okay, this brings up important. Employment job.
Uh-oh.
No, because it's a good discussion to have. I finished uni and I applied and I applied for every job under the sun, and I had this question I kept asking people, like, should I know you're legally, you don't have to, but let's forget legality.
Yeah, the reality of it.
The reality is, should you tell? Is there anything that you should tell? And I still, if someone asked me, I still wouldn't know the answer. My answer is no, you shouldn't, but I don't know the action of right answer, which is, yeah, I don't know.
So what's been your experience then when you have and you haven't? Because you said you've had employment trauma.
Yeah, just in cover letters, I've written that I had a disability and I have applied for jobs that I'm way too unqualified for, and I didn't even get an interview. And of course, you don't know whether that is because of what you wrote or because of the fact that jobs are scarce out there. Mm. You never know, but it plays in your head. Should I have done that? And then when you don't, but you have a disability and you get a job interview and you walk in, and it's obvious that I have an amputee. And
Yeah. And then they're like, oh.
Yeah.
And then the air's like stiff.
Yeah. So you just out of that. And I'm really privileged to have this job because it is a disability, right? And a disability run organization. And I know that my employer would not have discriminated against it, but that's in the disability sector. We are rare to have such a good job.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. That's never been my experience before.
Yeah.
My previous job I had, I got because I knew, sure that had you known. I knew the people and they knew me. Yeah, I've always had issues with employment.
Yeah, it's difficult. It's not like if you get through the interview stage, it's not like you can't not disclose as soon as you walk through the door kind of thing.
Yeah. I feel like my experience would be completely different to yours.
So. Yeah, so I'd really like to hear about your experience, whereas if you wanted to answer the question.
Yeah, there's any like professional environment when my disability is inevitably seen as time does, it's not like anyone's just going to be there. That didn't happen. It's prominent. It's got so many factors to it, like how I present myself, how I speak, and that's really hard because the time I have to talk about it is the time I'm in it.
That's a challenge.
Yeah, especially medical, actually more so than employment. I've been through every job I've lost because of my disability, but I've found it so much. It is surprising how much medical staff don't know about psychiatric.
Wow.
Or don't listen to lived experience. I've had like a grain of salt to listen to me. And that's not F the system kind of way, but as in like just taking in my experience with actual empathy.
Yeah.
So every time I look for a doctor, I tell them my history. They make the wrong assumption. I go look to the next doctor. And it's that over and over and over and over again. Yeah. Mm.
And that comes with trauma too, doesn't it?
Like, oh yeah, one of them. I'm alright talking about this. Actually, more so than any of my my long term. I went through chemotherapy 2 years ago, so I had cancer, and like, it's so much easier explaining anything physical from my experience than it will be for mental, because I got treated so much different in the hospital for cancer than I did, and for the heart problems that I had before it. Than what I did when I was having a mental health crisis. And it was crazy. I looked at it and I was like I was in there for because I had something wrong with my heart and I'd come in for my heart, but I had a severe moment of mental health, like, barrier then. And it was like that. I got told to basically shut up because I was having a panic attack because they were telling me that I had a heart attack.
What?
Yeah, it was weird. It was really weird. And I don't remember much, but I remember that. And I just remember thinking, like, everyone going, oh, you might have had a heart attack. And I didn't, but in that moment, they didn't know.
Yeah.
And then I started fully flipping.
Flip.
Yeah, it was a stressful day, right?
Yeah.
And then the nurses, they come over and said, you need to be quiet because people are sleeping here. That was crazy.
Wow.
I look back at it now and I was like, that was, but then when the day passes on, it's heart, it's cancer, it's this, it's treated like pats on the back then, oh, are you okay? But when you're, because mental health can be loud, mental health crisis is really loud. People think it's like someone looked in the room doing their own little thing, but you see it, everyone's seeing it every day.
Yeah.
There's always someone who's going through it, someone in the streets who's talking to themselves, or someone who's crying and they can't get consoled. It's loud and people don't like that.
Yep.
But like, crap, you've got to treat them the exact same as you would if someone was bleeding on the floor.
Yeah.
It's very rare that I've had to get that, which I think is a bit poor, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really powerful statement. Mental health crisis is loud.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
I don't love that, but I love the way you framed that because I've not thought about that before.
That's the thing.
And it's true.
It's true because, interesting, our brains pick it up. And I remember doing research in this because I'm a bit of a Okay, I'll do a little deep dive. So our brain has something called pathogen awareness.
Yeah.
And it's like fully ancient. And it's because we used to be like monkeys chilling in a group, right? And birds do this as well. And monkeys chilling in a group and one monkey gets sick. To not endanger the group, the monkey is pushed out, right? And this is what our brains do when we pick up something that we see that we think in an ancient term is a threat to ourselves and our safety. That is like an unconscious thing, like a lizard brain thing. Called the lizard brain.
Yeah.
It's so ancient. And I've experienced this from watching someone else, which is weird because you think, because I've been the loud one, watching the loud one, I wouldn't think that, but I do. Someone starts screaming.
Yeah.
And in mental health wards as well, when it's really loud, you crap your pants a bit. And yeah. And it's an unconscious thing, but then it's your actions after is what really matters. It's okay to see someone having a mental health crisis and be startled by it, because not allowing yourself to actually, that's actually probably unhealthy because they're loud.
Yeah.
And they affect everyone in the room. But it's about the actions after that really count. That if you see someone, you let them be, but you ask them if they're okay.
Yeah.
Or
that's really, wow. It's crazy. Yeah, that's really cool. Thank you. I don't have a segue to the next question, but that was really powerful. Thanks for that. It's true. No, but it's true. But it's really important what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Because you do. You can't help your response, your fight or flight. Doesn't. But it is what you do next that matters.
That matters. 100%.
Yeah. Wow. That's really cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
Completely unrelated question now. Just our last one for the episode. It's about what we see in the media, about representation. And I'm asking you two this because you deal a lot with digital media.
Yes.
And I can see you getting all excited. What do we need to do to improve our representation in the media? What frustrates you the most about media representation?
When you have people with disability, and I know I just said disability, not disabled people in media, and they either fit the two tropes, the inspirational porn or the pity porn. But I have found in a genre for Iron Man that disability is just not, it's wrapped up in the nuance of a story and characters. There's always entities in anime. There's always a story, and there is always like a full, they're a full human being, wouldn't it? Isn't that funny when you think about how people are actually full human beings? And it's like Western kind of media hasn't really caught up to that yet. And like, all I want to see is well-rounded, good-written characters, which, because I want to be a writer. And that's kind of my passion. It's not to write about disability, but just to write characters who have disability. So this excites me a lot.
Even disability that you don't have, you know, but like, doing your research, and I was going to say lived experience, because like, holy crap, like lived experience is a tool if you want to write something compelling or illustrate something compelling, and we're both artists, so we could probably agree on that.
Yeah.
Having someone with lived experience is crazy. Like, I would write a character, let's say, who has OCD. I don't have OCD. But I would consult my friend who has OCD. And there is also, there's always bridges when it comes to stuff where you can go, it'd be like that, and you'd be like that, and how do you think about this? And, yeah. And also not having, as an artist, I don't know. But you should only draw your...
But who does that? But do you know what? Who could possibly only do what they know?
Oh, one thing. Yeah, that's it. It'd be very stale. But yeah, I feel like that's something Western media is scared of, is actually asking. And, you know, that's probably the reason why this, but it's just get some lived experience.
Yeah.
Talk to people and hang out with them and stuff. And then you, boom, you got a better story.
I really struggle when you see, so I'm autistic. I see non-autistic people playing autistic characters. I'm pretty sure there's enough autistic folk out there who want to work in the arts.
Yeah, that's it. They think autism's a checklist.
Yeah, like, we're not all Rain Men.
Yeah, that's it. And they're like, oh, yeah, so they've got to be like this.
Yeah.
That's, man, everything, it is huge. It is way bigger than that. Yeah.
I completely agree with that statement. Okay, so I've always thought representation is important, all of that. I've never doubted that. But for me, for some reason, I never really thought about representation for myself. Mm. I never thought that. I was like, oh yeah, it's cool. Until I saw Mad Max Fury Road.
Hey, you tell me about this.
8 years ago, whenever it came out, I wanted to sit there, having no idea really what it was about, except Tom Hardy was in it, and I never really wanted Tom Hardy. Australia. Furiosity came out and she was an amputee, and I literally sat there tense from beginning to end, thinking this is going to be some inspirational porn bullshit sort of thing. And it was just, I had never seen something like that before, and I actually, I was like 30 years old, sitting in the cinema at the end, like the event sitting was like sobbing my eyes out. Because I'd never had that representation before. But at the same time, like you said, why can't we have actors who have disability play? Because, I mean, Charlize Theron was great, Furiosa, but how many amputee actors are there out there? And I can tell you how many are there out there. There is one less out there, because growing up, all I wanted to do was to go to a Wolf Art and actor. That was my absolute dream. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to be. And, of course, there aren't roles out there for people with disability. And when there are roles out there for people with disability, everybody can get them. And it's just like, And now I've reconciled to the fact, well, I'm a writer, and that's what I want to do. And I'm actually really happy with that. But 20-year-old Letitia would have killed it as an actor. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think you'd kill it as an actor now. Excuse you. Wow. Thanks.
You have to change your dreams.
Yeah.
Because it didn't fit what was in place already. I think everyone does that to an extent, and that's life. But I think you should have been given a go.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I can just write for other people.
And make them put the characters in.
Yeah.
That's good. Awesome. Wow, guys, this has been a really great conversation. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Time out. So thanks for joining me today. That was Unfiltered. Really appreciate it. See you next time, everyone.
Thank you.